It's my pleasure again tonight to introduce our speaker. We're glad to have Jeff Fincher and his wife Natasha with us from the City of Children. And Jeff is the head of the City of Children, and he came from Nashville. He was the head of the director of the student missions for several years at Lipscomb, and has made 35 or 40 trips to the City of Children before he accepted the position of being the head of the City of Children a couple of years ago, he and Natasha taking the place of Stan and Carol Stout, who retired. So he's been head of the City of Children for a couple of years now. And I give you Jeff Fincher.
Buenos noches, or buenos tardes, really. I meant to say this morning, but I forgot. Yo traigo saludos de los niños a la ciudad de niños y de Stan y Carolina. Everybody good? All right, we'll do the sermon tonight in English. How about that? I wanted to bring you greetings from all of the kids at the City of Children. They said to tell you hello, as well as Stan and Carol. We spoke with them a few days ago, and Stan and Carol Stout said to tell you hello as well, and I've been here many times and have such great memories of their visits here with you all and the relationships they have with you. So greetings, saludos de all of them. So de nada. All right. I got to do one other thing. Sorry, I meant to do this morning as well. If you don't mind, I need to take a photograph of you. I know that might not be the norm. Everyone smile. Great. I'll do one more this way. Great. Very good. Thank you, everyone. We send out thank you for the lights. We send out a weekly newsletter via email every week, and this week I will be sure to write about our time with you all today and the experience we've had with you. And so if you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter to stay up to date with everything that's going on at the City of Children, it doesn't cost a thing and it's very easy to sign up. You can just go to our website, which is just cityofchildren.com. www.cityofchildren.com, and right there on the front page there'll be a little place for you to put your name and your email address, and when you hit submit you'll automatically be added to our weekly newsletter, and we'd love to send you that so that you can kind of keep up with everything that's going on at the home. Tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about contrasts. We live in a world of sharp contrasts. Webster's dictionary defines a contrast in the following way. He says, contrast is the state of being strikingly different from something else, typically something in juxtaposition or close association. And this state of being strikingly different, I think, is an interesting thing. I told you this morning that Natasha and I moved from Tennessee to Southern California / Mexico. And, of course, there are some pretty striking contrasts between Tennessee and Southern California, Tennessee and Mexico. And so it's been a great learning opportunity for us. We were at lunch with Doug, and one of the things that we said we do not miss about Tennessee is humidity, which is... thankfully, God has not blessed you with the gift of humidity here in Southern California, and we love that. Great contrast. The weather is certainly a huge contrast. And then for those of you who have been to Mexico, and now I know some of you have been to the City of Children, just out of curiosity, could I see a show of hands, those of you who have actually visited the home at some point or another? Good. All right. Great. I was speaking with Mrs. Morgan tonight, and she was describing the City of Children and what it was like when she first started going, back when the home first began. And so tonight I wanted to be able to offer you, in talking about contrast, talk about some of the differences between the City of Children from the time it begun to where it is now, and talk to you about some of the contrast between Mexican culture and American culture. One of the first things that you notice when you cross the border into Mexico is that everything is different. The moment you cross the border, I love talking with people who have never been to the City of Children because that's one of the things that they always say when they come across. They say, just the minute you cross, everything changes. The way the city looks, the sounds, the smells, everything changes. The streets are different. The houses are different. The smells are different. Everything is different. And the further south you go on the Baja Peninsula, the sharper the contrasts are. And so I want to give you some examples of that. Picture, if you will, in your mind's eye, what your street looks like at home, where you live, or maybe even the street that you grew up on. There it is, crossing the border in Mexico. When you cross into Mexico, this is a typical street of one of the suburbs around the City of Children. This is in a town called El Zorillo. On this street, there is no sewer system. There is no running water. To get electricity, you have to tap into a power line, and a lot of times that's done illegally, and it's very dangerous. There are always dirty children playing in the street. It's not uncommon to see piles of trash around. In contrast to where you live, the street that you live on, it's very, very different. Now picture in your mind's eye the house that you live in now, the house that you were raised in. This is a typical home in the communities that surround the City of Children. Again, in El Zorillo, you'll notice dirt floors, cardboard or scrap wood used for walls. A lot of times the roof is an old tarp, or it'll be an old billboard that has been donated to that person, and they'll use that for the roof of their home. We had a group from Tennessee that was visiting a few weeks ago, and they delivered food to a family that was actually living in this house. And one of the women who lived here was so grateful that this family, or that these students from Tennessee had come to deliver food, that she sent her daughter down the road to the local convenience store. Again, sharp contrast to the convenience stores down the road from your house. And they used as much money as they had to buy Sprite for the team that was there delivering food, just as a way of saying thank you. And it was all they could afford. But they wanted to celebrate God's generosity and God's blessing on them that day. You'll also see sharp contrasts in the churches in Mexico. You look around and here you have a beautiful church building. Think about the church that you grew up in. Now contrast that with the typical church in and around Ensenada. Again, you'll notice dirt floors, no electricity. Now, over the past few years, the City of Children, with an organization called Baja Missions that was begun through the City of Children, and Doug helped with that, and have been building churches. There are now 11 churches in the on the Baja Peninsula that have gone in and found places like this. This was in an area of Ensenada called Maniadero, and they went in, and this is where the church was meeting. They were lucky enough to have a tent that someone had donated to them and some chairs. There are several churches. There's one even farther south in a city called San Vicente, and they were meeting under a tree, and they had hung a blanket in this tree to try to offer some shade, and that's where this church met for years. And Baja Missions and other caring Christians from all over the United States have helped to build actual church buildings in these places where these people can visit. And now it's really neat. If you ever visit San Vicente and the church there, they have a very nice church building. It's maybe a fourth the size or smaller than this building here. And they have a couple of classrooms. They have a full-time preacher. But behind the baptistry, they have a painting. And it's a painting of the old tree that they used to meet under with the blanket up over the tree, which I think is a neat reminder of where they've been and where they are now and how God has blessed them in such a way. But again, you'll see a big contrast there as well. And finally, the biggest contrast that you notice when you cross from Mexico into the United States is the people. The people look vastly different, especially the children. than American children and teenagers. These children are dirty. They're hungry, not only for food, but for love and attention. The children are broken in so many different ways. Now contrast these children that you see here, pictures that I've taken just in and around the Ensenada area. Contrast those kids with these. These kids are healthy and they're happy. They're clothed, they're full of life. These are some of the 106 children that we currently have living with us at the City of Children. Just 75 miles south of San Diego, for those of you who haven't been, the City of Children serves as a literal oasis in a wasteland of forgotten children. Here in this place, a cup of cold water in Jesus' name is given to children so precious that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven would look just like them. The story of rescue has been written now since 1970, and the story continues. The purpose of the City of Children is to look after widows and orphans in their distress. While teaching them to be lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. By the way, I was going to show you another contrast. This is where our kids live. This is their one of their bedrooms where they live. Now contrast that with the visiting teenage dorm where visiting teenagers come and hang out. That's where the Americans come and where they live when they're at the City of Children. I just thought that was a pretty interesting contrast. The purpose of the City of Children is to look after orphans and widows, taking from the scripture in James chapter 1, verse 27, while teaching them to be lifelong disciples of Christ. And since the home began in 1970, we've baptized 634 children and adults at the City of Children, with an additional 800-plus new Christians reached through Baja missions in the churches in and around the Ensenada area. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 5, "Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." This is why the City of Children exists. All the kids at the City of Children have a story. The kids come to us for three different reasons. One, either they've been severely neglected, where their family left them for days and weeks at a time. Two, they've been abused physically, sexually, emotionally. Or number three, they've been abandoned, completely abandoned. Some of their parents have died. Some couldn't afford to take care of their children, or they were abusive or negligent. Some of the children don't know why they're there. But let me tell you the stories of a few of the kids that we have at the City of Children right now. This is Carla Patino. Carla came to live at the City of Children when she was 18 months old, after having been in the hospital in a coma for 10 days. Her father had beaten her so badly that she couldn't move, she couldn't walk. He had literally beaten the life out of her. It was a miracle that her heart was still beating. She had died while she was in the hospital. They had revived her. When they brought her to the City of Children, she didn't move at all. As an 18-month baby, she just laid limp. The doctor said that she would never walk. She would never live a normal life. She would never go to school. Carla today is a beautiful, older Mediana girl who not only walks, but runs. And she's living a normal life. She goes to school, and she has a huge smile. She laughs all the time. And she's a great little girl. God's doing amazing things in her life. This is Lupita Stout. Lupita came to the home when she was 4 years old. She had been burned over 52% of her body, 39 of which was third-degree burns. Over the next 11 years, she would have more than 40 surgeries to repair her broken body, all provided by the Shriners. She graduated this last year from college with a degree in psychology and is now working in the San Diego school system in San Diego. Stan and Carol actually adopted her. Many of you probably have met Lupita. This is, there's another picture of Lupita there as she grew. There she is. This is Flor and Perla Monzon. Flor and Perla came, they are sisters. They came to live at the City of Children when they were 9 and 10 years old. They were living in extreme poverty. Their mom did not have the ability to take care of them. They did not have a father. Perla is now in college working on a degree in psychology in Ensenada. Flor, Natasha and I had the great privilege of being able to go to Flor's graduation just a few weeks ago. Her graduation from college where she got a degree in business administration and is now working in Ensenada. They've just recently moved out of the City of Children, have an apartment in town in Ensenada, and are living normal lives, having broken the cycle of poverty in their lives that had affected their family generations and generations. In fact, right after Flor graduated, we went down front. She was in her cap and gown. She had her degree with her in her hand. And I saw her, and she just burst into tears, just sobbing. And I said, "What is it?" And she said, "I'm the first ever in my family to have graduated from college, ever." And you think about the cycle of poverty that had existed for generations in her family, now broken forever, as Flor's out living a normal life. This is Horacio Cruz. He was 10 years old when he came to the City of Children, also lived in extreme poverty. This year he's going to complete his fourth year of law school in Tijuana, and next year become a lawyer, also breaking the cycle of poverty in his life. This is Arturo Vasquez. He came to the home when he was a baby. He was abandoned by his family. He's currently working as a translator. He's completely bilingual, speaking both English and Spanish. Works as a translator for Baja Missions. This is Mario Moreno. Mario was 8 years old when he and his two brothers came to the City of Children. They came also from extreme poverty and had been abused by their parents. After completing a degree in graphic design, as you can see there in the middle, Mario was hired by the City of Children and currently works as our administrative assistant. Mario is also bilingual and does a great job working with us at the home. Mario's brother, Jesus, also came when he was 9 years old. He just last year graduated from the School of Preaching in Torreon, Mexico. And now he works for the City of Children as our campus minister. And his job, after having been raised at the City of Children, by the way, that is him on your left in the white shirt after he first arrived at the City of Children. He now plans, he preaches at the City of Children. He plans and coordinates our Bible studies throughout the week, especially when we don't have groups there. Jesus is doing a great job. This is Alejandro and Lupita Guzman. And they came because their mom was not mentally able to care for them. They didn't know who their father was. After graduating from college, they lived together in Tijuana, brother and sister, where Alejandro worked as an architect and Lupita worked as a customs official for the Mexican government. This is Irene and Elvia Almanza. And they are sisters who grew up at the City of Children. They now live successful lives in Ensenada as an administrative assistant and as an accountant. They lived at the home for 12 years, and now they come back a lot of times for church on Sundays, which is great to have a lot of our alumni come back and hang out with us. We love it. And this is Jose Velasquez. This is a picture of Jose here on this side, on the left side. The day that he arrived, he came with his four brothers and sisters. They had been severely neglected by their family when they came. Jose didn't even have shoes on when he arrived. Today, Jose is a college graduate. He's a successful lawyer in Tijuana and serves as a public defender for the police department in Tijuana. I could go on and on with stories like these of graduates from the City of Children. Stories of how these students have broken the cycle of poverty. and how hundreds and hundreds of kids have come through the City of Children and had their lives and their eternities changed. All of them share the same sense of urgency to love and to be loved by caring Christians and to feel the compassion of God's people. The thing that we need most at the City of Children is just people to come and to love on our kids. The success of these graduates is because they had caring Americans like you who've been coming for years to come and just to love on these kids. Much of the contrast and the change in these kids' lives can be attributed to people like you who have fervently prayed, who have supported us financially, and who have visited the home over the years like Miss Morgan has and like so many of you others have. This year, we are blessed to be able to host 16 different groups from 14 different states across the country. This is a group from Columbia, Tennessee that came to visit. Every mission team, when they come, they present a vacation Bible school type program every night that will include a time of teaching, arts and crafts, drama, and other activities that our kids just absolutely love. Our teams also do work projects when they come to visit. An example of a work project, here's an example of the VBS project. The teams really go all out and have a great time with the VBS project. An example of the work project was the building of what I call the Great Wall of Ensenada. It took our teams right around 4 years of block making to build an 8-foot security wall around our 60 acres. Let me see if I have another picture. Oh, no, I don't. So after 4 years of lots and lots of making bricks by hand, these teams built this this beautiful security wall that goes around our entire property. The City of Children is funded exclusively through churches and donors from all over the country. 52% of our funding is provided by 116 churches in 28 states across the country. 48% of our providing comes from individual donors and people who participate in our child sponsorship program. Our child sponsorship program basically is it's an opportunity for our kids to have an American family. And what we do is we sign up families here in the U.S. to become the American parents of these kids. And what we do is we tell these kids, these are your American parents, and they pay a monthly amount. A full sponsorship is $250 a month, and what that covers is that child's food, their clothing, their medical care, their schooling, and all of the needs that they have each month. And those kids, not only are they taken care of, but they love and they look forward to hearing from their American parents and getting visits from their American parents and getting to hang out with and talk to. Kids come up to us all the time. Natasha and I will be walking across the playground and the kid will run up and say, hey, when's my American mom and dad coming to visit? Or did I get a card this week from my American mom or dad? We've received more than 25 new children since last September. And one of the more difficult things for us is when one of them come up and say, hey, when am I going to get a family? When am I going to get a family that's going to write me, that's going to come and visit? And we tell them, don't worry, we're working on that. And right now we're down to only, we have 8 children that are in need of sponsors, American families. And so if you or somebody you know might be interested, then please be sure to let us know that. It's a great opportunity to know a child and to get to know them on a very personal level. Another thing is, here's a brochure about our child sponsorship program, actually. If you'd like to read more about that, you can find this brochure on our website. You can download it, read all about our child sponsorship program. We receive no help from the U.S. or Mexican governments, and we're very happy about that because if they gave us money, then they'd be able to tell us how to spend it, and we really don't want them doing that. So we very gladly do not accept money from from either government. One of the things that we're working on right now, and I wish I had a slide to show you, but it's so new, I don't even have a slide to put it up yet to show you pictures of it. But here in the next couple of weeks, another one of the things that we're getting ready to start that's going to kind of start the next phase of the City of Children is we are going to build a creative arts and learning center on our campus. Our kids are all wards of the state. All of our children are controlled, if you will, by the local welfare department, which is called the DIF, the D-I-F. And the DIF tells us what we can and can't do with our kids. And the DIF has made it very strict for us to be able to take our kids off campus. They prefer us, if we are going to take the kids off campus, for anything other than a normal activity, like going to school or going to the doctor or going to the psychologist, we have to write our attorney at the DIF, and that attorney has to write the representative for each of those kids. Now, that representative could be in any number of different cities in northern Baja. And so it's a huge process. Even if we just wanted to take our group of teenagers, if we wanted to take all 22 of them to go watch a movie one night, a month in advance, we'd have to write a letter to our attorney. That attorney would have to write each of the representatives, hear back from all of those representatives, and tell us, yes, you can do that. And the reason they do that is they're trying to protect the kids. But it also makes it very, very difficult for our kids to have normal lives when we do that. And so because of that, we are entering this new phase where we're going to develop this creative arts and learning program, where instead of sending our kids into the city to go take art classes or music classes or dance classes or things like that that any kid here could do on a normal or regular day, we're going to bring that to the home. So we don't have to ask the DIF if they can go out and do that. We're going to bring it to them. And so we've got a building, one of our older buildings on campus that needed to be renovated anyway. We're going to renovate that building, and one half of it's going to become a learning center, where we're going to have teachers that will be able to come in the afternoons and tutor our students who need educational help, because a lot of our kids need educational help because they start school so late in their lives. And so we'll have little breakout classrooms. We'll have a little computer lab right there for them to be able to get on the computer and do their schoolwork. We'll have little study rooms where when they have friends come over to the home to do projects together, they can study. And then the other half of the building is going to be our creative arts center, where we'll have an art studio, where we'll have easels set up, and we'll have local artists from town come in and teach art lessons to those kids that want to learn art lessons. And then we'll have a music room, where we'll have a guitar instructor from town come to the home and teach guitar lessons to those kids that want to learn how to play rock and roll music or something, or mariachi music, who knows. And we'll have like a dance studio and different things like that, so that our kids can learn in different ways, and so they can grow in different ways, and so that they can live normal lives, so that when they leave the home, again, so that their lives will be changed, and so they can break that cycle of poverty, and so that they can live, so that their family, their kids, their grandkids will have a completely different life. And so we're really excited and looking forward to this next stage of what the City of Children is going to do and where it's going to be. The City of Children would certainly not have the ability to change lives and eternities of these precious children without the partnership and the support we receive from our American friends and family. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Over the past 15 years, all of these contrasts have challenged the way that we, not only the way that we read the Bible, but what we believe about our place in the world. I've always been taught that we only truly believe as much as we live out that belief. The way we live demonstrates the depth of our faith. God is calling us to put our faith into action. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27 tells the story about hearing and obeying the Word of God. James, in this section, and I won't read it to you now, but if I would encourage you to write that down, take a look at it tonight. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James, in this chapter, challenges us to apply our faith in tangible ways. And so I challenge you to think this week, what are some things that you can do to show that you are living out the Word of God in a missional way, in contrast to merely listening to the Bible? What are some tangible ways this week that you can live out your faith? I found this great example adapted from a passage in Matthew 25 to illustrate what James is talking about. A lot of times we fall short of Christ's demands of putting His words into action. And we read this very common text in Matthew 25. We read it in this way. I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club and discussed my hunger. I was imprisoned, and you crept off quietly to your church or home, and you prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so holy, so close to God, but I'm still very hungry and lonely and cold. But imagine if we saw Christ in all who have needs. Imagine if we took that James passage seriously. And imagine that we ministered to those needs in Christ's name and with His love. How good would it be to hear these words instead? When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was homeless, you opened your doors. When I was naked, you gave me your coat. When I was weary, you helped me find rest. When I was anxious, you calmed all my fears. When I was little, you taught me how to read. When I was lonely, you gave me your life. When in prison, you came to my cell. When on a sick bed, you cared for my needs. In a strange country, you made me feel like I was at home. Seeking employment, you found me a job. Hurt in a battle, you bound up my wounds. Searching for kindness, you held out your hand. When I was black or brown, yellow or white, mocked and insulted, you carried my cross. When I was aged, you bothered to smile. When I was restless, you listened and cared. When I was laughed at, you stood by my side. When I was happy, you shared in my joy. I think when we can read that passage in Matthew like that, the king will truly reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. I want to thank you for the years of dedication and the years of work that you guys have put into helping the City of Children be a special place. I want to thank you for the difference that you've made in these kids' lives by your participation, through your prayers, and by just by coming and loving on these kids. Our prayer is that the Newland Street congregation will continue for many years to be involved in the City of Children. Our prayer is that you'd come and visit, that you'd come and let me and Natasha take you on a tour of the home, that you'd let us introduce you to Carla, and that you'd let us introduce you to all of the 106 kids that we currently have at the home. Our prayer is that you'd come down and hang out. Now, you do have to have a passport. I was talking to Miss Morgan about that as well. You got to have your passport to get back into the U.S., so start working on that now. But you can get a passport card now, and they're very inexpensive. But we would love to have you come down and visit. We'd love to show you around. We'd love to introduce you to our kids. You are the difference in these kids' lives. And I mean that quite literally. You are the difference in these kids' lives. If you want to serve God and find fulfillment in life, become who God says you are in contrast to what the world says. God wants to use us to change the world, and I believe that we can, one child at a time, because I've seen it happen. If you'd like to know more about Christ tonight, if you are struggling in your walk at all today and need help, if you need an arm put around you, if you need prayers, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.